Hey guys, welcome to the show. This is The Pursuit of Wellness. My name is Kabir Uppal, and each week I talk to wellness experts and enthusiasts to extract key information that we can use to get holistically healthy together. On this episode, my guest is Avni Kaul, who is a nutritionist and runs her own platform called NutriActivania. I've known Avni for many years and have always reached out to her for nutrition advice. On this episode, we talked about moderation in fitness and nutrition, alcohol and how it affects different body types, and alcohol's effect on diabetics. My personal takeaways from this conversation were that it's not only binge drinking that affects you. 4 drinks a week can equal 5 whole kilograms a year. If you're new to the show, make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube or any other podcast app you use. It would really go a long way in helping the show grow. The Pursuit of Wellness is a Muncha Media production. You can find out more on munchamedia.com. You can also follow at Muncha Podcast on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, or follow me personally at Kabir Uppal on all social media. Before we jump into the episode with Avni, I'd like to mention our sponsor for this episode, Tego. Tego is premium gear for the modern everyday athlete. They create products using emerging materials and textile technology that feels great when you're at your sweatiest best. And I have to say, guys, Tego really knows what they're doing. Right now, I'm wearing their Sweats Charge t-shirt, which is a really cool product. It's a performance t-shirt that only reveals its message when you sweat the most. Personally, I love it because it gives me the extra push I need to go harder. You can find out more at www.tego.fit/tpow. That's tego.fit/tpow. With that, let's jump right into my episode with Avni. I hope you enjoy it. Hey Avni, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Kabir.
So we've already given our audience a little bit of an introduction about you, but why don't you tell us a bit about yourself in your own words?
I'm a nutritionist and a wellness coach. So after my class 12th, I decided to go in for a BSc in nutrition, food and nutrition from Delhi University. I took admission in Lady Irvine College.
That's where we met.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And after that, I went in for my master's, MSc in food and nutrition from Institute of Home Economics. So they're both Delhi University colleges. And post that, I started to work with a public health organization. And I realized that my calling was actually nutrition counseling, like a one-on-one counseling. I kind of enjoyed that a lot more as compared to public health nutrition. So I did that switch and started working with Fitness First in Select City Walk. It's like a UK-based company. And I worked there for about 3 years. And while I was working, I also did a course in diabetes. So I became a certified diabetes educator from Project Hope and International Diabetes Federation. Worked a bit in Max Hospital Saket, because you've got to intern and you've got to practice before you sort of start telling people or guiding people on diabetes. So I did my internship there in the endocrinology department. And finally, I decided to be on my own. So I started my clinic called NutriActivania. I started this in Saket. The idea behind calling it NutriActivania was that, you know, you need nutrition for an active life. Diet is a way of life. Unfortunately, we've developed a very negative connotation that diet is about starvation. It's, you know, you don't need to eat. And if you're going to a dietitian or a nutritionist, it means that, oh, there'll be no food in the diet, right? So it's a way of life. But yes, NutriActivania was basically nutrition for an active life, that you're maniacs about being active. And that's what everybody wants. I mean, it could be weight loss. It could be managing their thyroid. It could be managing their diabetes. But eventually, it's all about feeling good about yourself and having a good quality of life. So I've been on my own for the last 1.5 years now.
Nice, yeah. Nice. So some great experience there. You know, I wasn't aware that you had actually educated yourself so much over the last few years.
Yes, yes.
And it's great. I think you have a great diverse background in terms of the diabetes stuff, in terms of the public health, and also your experience at Fitness First. You know, I think it's important to kind of look at the way that mass appeal of fitness and nutrition, which, you know, something like a Fitness First gives because of its distribution and in terms of how many members they have, especially at a place like Select City Walk, which is, I believe, their biggest in Delhi.
Yes, yes, yes.
Awesome. So let's move in a little bit about the main topic that we're talking today. We're talking about alcohol and wellness. So Just to kick things off, you know, what are some of the most popular alcoholic beverages that people consume in terms of your experience of talking to your clients? And can you give us a slight breakdown of them in terms of nutrition terms or basic okay. active ingredients or something like that?
All right.
Yeah.
So mostly when people come to me, of course, the first question that actually is on their mind is like, what about my alcohol? And are you going to be asking me to completely eliminate it? And I always say that, no, alcohol is not eliminated, but yes, try to have it in moderate amounts. Nutrition, eventually it all boils down to moderation, yeah. balance, variety, moderation. And we always say moderation, moderation, moderation. So yes, people have different preferences actually. Some people like to have vodka, some like to have their beer, some like to have their whiskey, wine, gin, whatever, you know.
Everything.
Yes. So if they are wine lovers, actually, you know, so as per the research, it is indicating that wine is very good for your heart health. It's very high on antioxidants. But of course, at the same time, it's not that you have to abuse that red wine for a good heart health.
Pounding six bottles a day.
Yes, yes.
Dil achha hona chahiye.
Yeah. So red wine, yes. Red wine, white wine is comparatively lighter in terms of the calories. And your white wine is lighter in as compared to your red wine. So
okay.
if you are going out and you want to keep it a little light, you can opt for a white wine. Vodka, ideally, if you avoid it with your fruit juices. Vodka with soda is good. Vodka with water is good. So the idea is to modify. So whatever you're having, try having it as simple as possible. Try having it as neat
yeah.
and not really like adding something to it, like not mixing alcohol. Because when you're mixing it, then it kind of becomes a lot more, you know, what do you call it? That intoxication
yeah,
that
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of increases.
Plus that's also because of the sugar count.
Yes, right? Yes. So calories keep going up. It's loaded with, you know, your sugar and the calorie budget kind of goes for a toss.
Yeah.
So vodka, if you're having, you can always have it with water. You can have it with soda. So a shot of vodka is about 95 to 97 calories. And a vodka with soda would be a good idea with a fresh lime squeezed into it. Let's say a Cosmopolitan or a Sex on the Beach would not be
yeah.
a great idea because
there's a lot of sugar.
There's a lot
it.
Of sugar in
yeah.
it, right?
Even when I was trying to, you know, improve my diet and drinking as well, you know, there was a lot of stuff I had read ki matlab gin hi peeni chahiye, gin or, you know, gin tonic or gin soda is good, or like a vodka soda, like you're rightly saying. And for many years, I just stuck to the
yeah.
vodka soda. So what if like somebody had to say, ek cheez bata do jo main pee sakta hun moderation mein, which is the best or the least calories? You know,
yeah.
what is that?
So you can actually choose because vodka is about like one shot is about 95 calories, whereas gin, like a shot would be around 110 calories.
Okay.
And a gin with a few olives, like a gin martini would be a good idea.
Yeah.
However, like a gin and tonic
would not be such a
great idea because again, it's laced with a lot of sugar and the tonic water is mainly the culprit there.
And how much does that potentially bump up the sugar?
Yeah, so
the
your
calories?
Calories would go up to around 240 to 250 calories.
More than double.
Yeah. And your carbohydrates can go up to 30 grams. Your sugar can go up to 35 to 40 grams of sugar. So that's a lot of sugar in the diet for that particular day as well. So wine is pretty good for you. Wine is again lower in terms of calories.
Mm-hmm.
Red wine is high in terms of antioxidants. Beer is the highest in terms of calories.
Great. So, my favorite one that you've mentioned.
Yes.
Lovely.
But yes, it is low in terms of the alcoholic content.
Yeah.
Whiskey, bourbon, scotch, all these, like a shot contains about 110 or 105 calories. Whereas whiskey has a little bit of sugar, has a little bit of carbs. Like your wine, your vodka and your gin will not have any carbs or sugar. But your whiskey, bourbon and scotch will have a little bit of sugar, a little bit of carbs. It is negligible, but there is. So the idea is again, have it like with soda or with water, like that very famous that Don Draper drink. If
yeah.
you've seen Mad Men,
yes,
that drink would be ideal and not, you know, something like a whiskey sour.
Yeah.
Whiskey sour, again, the calories would go beyond 250 calories. The carbohydrates would be like above, let's say 30 grams of carbs.
It has almost 3 or 4 different ingredients that
yes,
come in.
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay.
So cocktails is not a great idea because there's a lot of mixing of alcohol. There's a lot of sugar juices. There's, you know, there's just mixing too much and the calories kind of go up. And when you have alcohol, your sugar goes up and then suddenly it comes crashing down. So therefore, what happens is that you wake up in the middle of the night as well. You know, yeah. You feel hungry. So a lot of time what happens is that when people have their drink before bed, in the middle of the night, they wake up trying to kind of find something to munch on, and then they raid their refrigerators. Yeah.
So the post-drinking munching is not a good idea, you're saying?
Yes. It happens because alcohol does that to you. So yeah. If you're having too much of alcohol, your sugar levels will just kind of go up and come crashing down.
Okay, awesome. So talking a little bit about moderation and, you know, maybe completely cutting out. In terms of some of the goals that people have, you know, some people obviously, you know, I would say most people want to lose weight, or they want to get fitter, or they want to be able to run more, they want to be able to lift heavier, they want to get quicker for whatever, you know, athletic reason or whatever. Is alcohol counterproductive to those as much as weight loss? So for example, if I am only trying to get faster at running versus I'm happy with my weight currently, right? Mm-hmm. Is alcohol as bad for my running journey or my running goal as it is for my weight loss goal?
So yes, if you have a specific goal in mind, yes, alcohol can be counterproductive because it will just slow down your, you know, how you're trying to progress towards your goal.
Okay.
So it will definitely slow down and it will hamper your efforts. And, you know, there was a study which was done by the University of Miami, which showed that people who go to the gym or who run regularly as compared to people who don't go to the gym, they actually drink more. So people who are frequently going to the gym were drinking more because they feel that they deserve it and it's the right thing to do. But eventually they were having a lot more as compared to people who were not so regular with their workouts.
Because they thought it was justified.
Yes, they thought it was justified. And then there are trends like, you know, once your obstacle race is completed, you are handed over like a cold beer, yeah. And things like beer yoga have come in. And people think that it's right. But actually, you know, alcohol will not work very positively if you have a specific goal in mind without being a buzzkill, you know.
Yeah.
So because, you know, if you're having an alcohol immediately after your workout, you are, you know, just delaying your metabolism. That alcohol induced dehydration will slow down your metabolism by almost 80%. So if you're trying to lose weight, it's not going to happen. It will only slow down. And of course, the one organ that we always talk about is the liver. So liver's priority becomes in terms of metabolizing alcohol and not really working on what you're eating, you know, what you're burning. So, you know, your liver is just working towards removing that alcohol from the body. It's flushing out that alcohol. And post-workout, you should be having like a high biological value protein. You should be having your eggs. You could be having chicken. You could be having your whey protein.
Yeah.
You could be having your carbohydrates. It could be potato. It could be banana. It could be oats. It could be muesli.
Yeah.
But rather than giving your body the right nourishment or the right nutrients post your workout, you're actually giving your body alcohol. So it can be inflammatory. It will, you know, have a negative response on your hormones.
Yeah.
So alcohol would not be a great idea post your workout.
Yeah, easier said than done. I'm looking for the day where people finish a run and say, hey, let's go to the bar and get a bowl of muesli.
Yeah, that is what the trends have started, you know, yeah. Like the bars are also kind of promoting that, hey, you've done a run, let's just go and grab a beer.
It's almost traditionally and culturally, it's a way to celebrate anything.
Yes.
So that's why it kind of gets problematic.
It just slows down your metabolism. And, you know, the alcohol-induced dehydration, because, you know, you're obviously losing a lot of water through sweat. Your electrolytes are being lost. So instead of hydrating yourself, you're actually, you know, dehydrating your body.
Yeah.
So alcohol is a diuretic, so it will just make you lose a lot more water.
That's great. I think that's a great point. You know, I think people think about alcohol in terms of, okay, sugar content high, and you know, obviously people want to celebrate, but the point about specifically that, you know, you're going to slow down your metabolism, like I think that's essential to any goal that you have in mind, right? Even if I'm trying to cut back a little bit of fat versus really lose 10 kilos or whatever it might be, or changing up my body fat percentage, metabolism plays a huge role in all of that.
Absolutely. And of course, if you are into fitness, and I'm assuming that the person is into healthy eating also, then, you know, the people who are into healthy eating, they're also calculating their carbs, their fats, their proteins. So they need to actually calculate those, you know, the calories coming from the alcohol.
They have to factor that in as well.
Yes, absolutely. And that is, those are empty calories. They're not going to provide you any amount of nutrition.
Yeah.
And of course, I think what happens is that on the internet, there's so much which we are reading about, that beer is linked with, you know, reducing the incidence of osteoporosis, you know, red wine is good for your heart, and then vodka can be used to cure your headaches, can be used to cure your common cold.
Yeah.
And, you know, then people start to kind of justify that, yeah, we're having alcohol because it has health benefits. So, I mean, don't have alcohol for those things,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and even if you are, I mean, having that one glass is okay. But again, going back to how much should you really be doing of the drinking for those particular benefits or for celebrating anything, right?
Yes, absolutely.
How does alcohol, you know, affect different people's systems? I know it doesn't always have the same effect on people, right? So I think the size of a person's body, their metabolism, there are various factors that go into how alcohol actually affects your body and your overall health. So can you break that down a little bit for us?
Yeah, different people have different capacities. And most importantly, alcohol affects women differently as compared to men. So women get intoxicated a lot faster than men. So if they've had the same amount of alcohol, they've had the same type of alcohol, they'll, you know, it will obviously, alcohol does impair your judgment. It delays your cognitive functioning and it changes your response to stimuli. So
why does it do that for women more? I mean, is it?
It's the way we are genetically predisposed in a certain way. So the alcohol effect on women would be different as compared to men.
Okay.
And no doubt, I mean, time and again, we've talked about it, that the liver kind of goes into an overdrive in trying to metabolize that alcohol getting converted into acetic acid. Basically, the psychoactive ingredient in alcohol is ethanol, right? So we're trying to just, the liver kind of is working on it, right?
Yeah,
so whatever
yeah.
you're eating is not really like metabolized, and because the body's priority is alcohol. And therefore, the fat cells start to deposit in the liver. And it can, if you're kind of abusing alcohol, you're chronically, and you're having like a weekend drink, every weekend you're drinking something, it will eventually start affecting your liver. It can result in liver cirrhosis. The liver problems can become very severe. What we also talk about is the fatty liver disease.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
can kind of creep in. So moderation is always what we're talking about. Otherwise, I mean, if I don't talk about the liver, it starts to affect your brain health. It starts to, you know, also result in depression. So it's kind of correlated, you know, depression. A person who's having depression can start to abuse alcohol and vice versa. And all sorts of organs start to get affected. So once the alcohol travels from the stomach to your bloodstream, then eventually like it can affect any organ of
Anything.
The body.
And these are just internal ones. If you drink too much and fall, then those external injuries are separate.
Absolutely. Yeah. And remember one thing, that even if you're having one sip of vodka, gin, beer, it will stay in the body for a period of 2 hours.
Okay.
Right. So we have to keep those things in mind, that we are, and you know, I always say this to all my clients, that, you know, you ask me so many questions with regards to protein supplement. Is it safe? Will it affect my kidneys? And, you know, I want to have something natural. And are these supplements really necessary? Like, are you giving us a multivitamin or an omega-3? But at the same time, when it comes to alcohol,
you don't think twice,
you know, you don't think too much about your liver. You don't think too much about your brain health. You don't think, I mean, you know, alcohol has been linked with cancer. Also for that matter. But yeah, I mean, you kind of don't think on those lines. You think of partying.
yeah, without scaring our audience too much. How would, say, for example, you know, 3 drinks of vodka affect you or I differently in terms of, you know, based on your knowledge of, you know, my working out and my body type and your exercise regime and your body type, you know, how would that, would you know, you had said that women get affected differently.
Yeah.
So is it in terms of just cognitive function, or is it that, you know, inherently men's liver are more prone to getting messed up sooner, or, you know, what are some of those differences?
Yeah, that is a very good question, because whenever I'm doing the body composition analysis at the clinic, wherein we tell you the fat mass, the muscle mass, the bone mineral content, the metabolic age, all these parameters we're explaining, mm-hmm. I always notice this one thing, that men tend to have a higher visceral fat. Now, visceral fat is the fat around the organs.
Yeah.
And that is always should be in the range of 2 to 9. So it should be in a single digit. Whereas in men, even if they are aesthetically looking very lean and slim, their visceral fat kind of says that, no, their health is not
Yeah,
very
I
good.
Think I've been at a 10 for like 6 months and working out pretty regularly. It just hasn't gone down.
Yes, yes. And that's, and it also kind of helps you to kind of understand that it's not how you look. And aesthetically, like, the person could be looking lean. Their weight could be within the normal BMI range, which is 18.5 to 23.9. However, their visceral fat could be high, and which they have no idea about, right?
No, even I haven't been able to
so
figure that out.
So men definitely have a higher fat deposition in that case as compared to the visceral fat indicator. And of course, that means that the blood lipids and the metabolism is not at their peak.
So just again, going back to that example, so the same 3 drinks might have a worse effect on my fat than your fat.
Yes, it could be different individuals. Even in men, you know, your friend could be having a different response to alcohol. You could be having a different response. And if you've not been able to achieve a particular fitness goal, like suppose you've been exercising regularly, you've been having a good kind of a diet, then you need to kind of look into your alcohol intake. The first thing that I would say is, like, look into your alcohol. How much alcohol have you been having? And if you're having alcohol on, you know, let's say occasionally, occasionally versus like binge drink on the weekend, that binge drinking is worse as compared to that occasional drinking.
Okay.
Binge drinking will do you much more harm as compared to like having moderate drinks once in a while with your friends.
Okay, so a couple of drinks 2-3 times a week is probably better than me going, you know, half a case of beer on Saturday.
So for your information, so if you're having about 4 drinks every week, that will make you put on at least 5 kgs per year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a good number to know.
Yeah. So then there are numbers like, you know, then there are, you know, on the internet, people are writing that one drink a day is absolutely fine. But that is not the definition of moderation.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I can imagine all of our listeners right now calculating pichle hafte kitni beer pi, pichle saal kitni beer pi, kitna weight badhne wala.
Yeah, so beer is the highest in calories in terms like if you take one beer, that is approximately 250 to 300 calories. And then along with the food that you're having, you end up obviously craving for a lot of pizzas and tacos and burgers because obviously your glycogen stores are getting depleted. So you end up craving for these salty food items because you're also losing a lot of your sodium, your electrolytes are being lost because you're dehydrated. So again, you eventually start craving. So it becomes like a vicious cycle.
Yeah. One after the other, it kind of just is not really helping you. So quick point, going back to, you know, your knowledge of diabetes. Is it just a simple no-brainer that people that have diabetes should completely avoid alcohol, or, you know, can they indulge a little bit and still be very, very careful? Because it's all to do with sugar levels in the body, correct?
Absolutely. And a diet for a diabetic would be the same as like a regular person. Like a diabetic, I mean, I would still see them like not as, oh, you know, you're a diabetic and hence we need to kind of cut down on certain foods.
Does that also depend on the kind of type of diabetes there are?
Yes. Now, there is type 1 and type 2 diabetes. Type 2 diabetes is mainly a lifestyle related one, and type 1 is what you get at the time of birth.
Genetic,
so, yeah. That's, you know, that's diagnosed at the time of your birth. And in that, the only way that you can manage your sugar is via insulin.
Yeah.
Because there is no insulin being produced in the body. Whereas in type 2 diabetes, it's mostly linked to having a higher BMI, physical inactivity, a very sedentary lifestyle. There could be a family history of diabetes. You could be like women could have gestational diabetes, that is diabetes during pregnancy. So the chances of them developing diabetes in future are a lot higher. Or if your waist circumference, your hip circumference are very high. So these are all risk factors for diabetes. Yeah. A lot of people think that diabetes is because of excessive intake of sugar. It is not because of that.
Yeah.
It is also because whatever I was talking about, the visceral fat indicator, your lifestyle, are you working out regularly? Is it like a very sedentary routine? And, you know, it could be some medicine that you're taking.
Yeah.
So these are multiple risk factors. Mainly it's BMI, it's being overweight, you know, it's, gestational diabetes.
Yeah.
There could be a family history.
Again.
So there are so many reasons why you could develop diabetes. And as far as a diabetic is concerned, the rules would be the same, that they need to have alcohol in moderate amounts. Like I've heard these things being said that, oh, you know, you're a diabetic, you can't have banana, you can't have mango. Now, the idea is you have to modify it. So if a person is really fond of bananas and I say, oh, you know what, you can't have bananas, that will not go down too well with the person.
Yeah.
You know? So what we can say is that, okay, what you do is with you, like the banana that you're having, combine it maybe with a milk product. Combine it with, let's say, a dahi or a yogurt. You can make a smoothie. You can make a banana shake. Or if you're really fond of mango, you can make a mango shake or a banana smoothie. That way, what happens is it helps you to regulate your blood sugar levels. You know, your sugar levels kind of don't go up and then come crashing down.
Yeah,
it kind of stays
at a stable level.
Yes, absolutely.
Great. I think that's great information for people that either are diabetic or, you know, have friends and family.
Yeah, they just need to modify their diet. They don't need to specifically buy something like a special diabetes mithai or a diabetes namkeen or a diabetes atta or a diabetes rice. I know these are all there in the market. They don't need to purchase something differently or, you know, a different product per se because they're a diabetic. They can just modify the regular home cooked meals and have those.
Also now, in terms of working out and eating healthy, you know, and, you know, time periods of when you should consume alcohol, specifically after a workout, how long should you wait? You know, you brought up the point about, you know, people are drinking right after their runs. There is beer yoga. And many times, you know, I can't, at least the 2 5Ks and 1 10K that I did, I went immediately and had a couple of beers as well. So how, you know, you've already mentioned that it's not particularly a good idea to do that because already you are dehydrated and you need to kind of, you know,
replenish yourself. Yes.
You know, if there is, you know, a particular formula to it, how long should somebody wait after working out?
They need to at least recover. So immediately post their workout, they need to have their protein for muscle repair and recovery. They need to have their carbohydrates for energy replenishment.
Yeah.
So while they've done that, they feel that they've, you know, they've kind of had the adequate nutrition to recover from that extensive or that very intense exercise. Like, for example, a leg workout, they need their nutrition. And after a period of 4 to 5 hours, then they can definitely have.
Okay, yes, so that's a good good formula there. Wait at least 4 or 5 hours.
Probably
before
on the days that you're not working out, maybe that day you can drink. You know? So not kind of, you know, combining your alcohol with exercise, that's not going to be a great idea because the whole purpose of going for an exercise will be defeated.
Yeah, fair enough. Good to know. In terms of, you know, a framework, you know, we've talked about different aspects of drinking and hitting goals. We've talked about, you know, how alcohol affects your metabolism, your ability to kind of get the energy you need, and also, you know, converting into fat and how it really works against your liver in general. But, you know, could you maybe lay out a simple framework for people to be able to adopt the principles you have mentioned in this in terms of, you know, how they can really go about making some change so that they're able to kind of have a good lifestyle where they're working out, they're eating healthy, running and etc.
But enjoy also, their life also.
Yeah, exactly. Not completely. So we don't want to be an episode that completely kills their buzz, right?
Yeah. Not at all. So I always say that you don't need to eliminate it, but yes, you need to have it in moderate amounts. So the first thing that you can do is that if you know that there'll be a party and there'll be drinks, what you can do is probably you can eat something before you leave your place. It could be, let's say, a fruit. It could be a toast with peanut butter. It could be some, you know, whole wheat pita with a hunker dip. It could be just like some a bowl of oats. It could be a bowl of muesli. It could be like a sandwich. So you can just eat something before you leave. And it could even be like a scoop of whey protein for that matter.
Good to know. So, and the term that people constantly talk about, lining your stomach, is that scientifically correct? Or is that just some random saying that people like, what is getting, is there a stomach getting lined by anything?
No,
or
nothing. Yeah, okay. So you can just eat before you go and have a drink so that the chances of you know, those cravings will not set in.
Yeah.
Okay. And even if you want to eat something with your drink, ideally do not opt for fried foods, you know, not opt for tacos and pizzas. You can probably opt for like tikkas, like tandoori chicken or like a chicken tikka or a paneer tikka. Soya chaap or roasted mushrooms or roasted broccoli, you know, you can have these kinds of items and not go in for the nachos and all these things. Yes. And the other thing that I would recommend to people is, if possible, try not drinking before bed, because you need, if you've heard this term called REM, that rapid eye movement, the REM sleep
cycle,
which an average person requires about 25 to 30 minutes where there's that rapid eye movement. So that is a deep restorative kind of a sleep. If you're having alcohol before bed, then it kind of goes to 10 minutes of that REM sleep. So it eventually it kind of deprives you of a good quality sleep. A lot of people drink so that they can sleep better, but actually it's on the contrary, your sleep will get affected.
Okay.
So try if you can manage to not have a drink immediately, you know, before you're going for bed.
So is that basically to try to sober up a little bit, drink some water, like hang out a little bit?
Yes. And that's a very interesting point that you brought up, that have water. So maybe if you're having a drink, the next should be a glass of water, then you should move on to the next drink, you know. And obviously try to hold the drink as much as possible. Try to keep it as simple as possible. Try having a neat. Do not add any fruit juice to it, because when you're adding a fruit juice, it means that you're adding the sugar of, let's say, 6 oranges versus 1 orange. So like if you're making a fruit juice, you're using 5 oranges and the sugar of 5 oranges is there.
It's a lot.
And there is no fiber. So rather do not have that fruit juice. In fact, if you're having rum, you can combine it with a Diet Coke if you like.
Okay. Good to know. So in terms
like a pina colada would not be a good idea.
No. Fair enough. So in terms of the framework, you know, moderation obviously is there. Making sure that you're not really, you know, drinking immediately after a workout, giving enough of a gap between your drinks through, you know, hydration, couple of glasses of water, making sure that you don't drink right before going to bed and give yourself some time there. Any other pointers you think are essential to make sure that, you know, you can still have fun but not, you know, be working against yourself in terms of achieving goals?
Just have the, you can enjoy your alcohol, there is no problem, but it's all about choosing the right one, you know. Ideally try not opting for liqueurs, the cocktails, you know, because they're again loaded with sugar, your calories go up. So if you are into that, try avoiding those. But the basic neat alcoholic, the clear alcoholic beverages are better because it doesn't put that liver into an overdrive, you know. So those will be the ideal ones if you're really like looking for a good drink.
great. So I think that, you know, that framework and those principles are really helpful for our listeners. I know I learned a lot there myself, and I think for our listeners as well, in terms of how they can continue to have a little bit of fun but also not work against their goals. You know, moving into our last segment here, what are, you know, who are some people that you would potentially like to hear on our podcast? You know, we talked a lot about podcasts before we actually started recording. The seat you're sitting in, who would you like to have there and, you know, potentially be able to listen to them later about a specific topic or in their, in general, their journey?
I would like to hear any person who's been able to change their life or who's been able to lose their weight. And I would like to hear their story as to what worked for them. And I think that would be really inspiring because I understand that we as nutritionists or trainers, you know, for us, it's an occupational hazard. You know, we've got to work out. We've got to be good examples. But I think somebody, let's say, who's working in a corporate, who's got like a 9-to-5 and has a very sedentary routine. And if that person has been able to kind of lose weight with their, you know, let's say a very hectic traveling schedule or with their deadline, and with long working hours, I think those real stories I would like to hear from somebody or someone. I think I would also like to hear a lot of you know, women who've been able to lose their weight post their pregnancy, because I think the post pregnancy weight loss becomes very frustrating and it kind of demotivates them, it discourages them, and you know, they have low esteem issues and they have self confidence issues. So I think let's any mommy for that matter, you know, who's been able to just shed that weight and kind of come out and be confident again, and maybe, you know, she's gotten into fitness as a profession, or if not as a profession, but like become a blogger, and she's helping out other women and inspiring them. So I think some real stories, somebody who's been able to lose weight or somebody who's been able to change their life. It doesn't always have to be regards to losing weight,
yeah,
but just generally like improving their lifestyle. If they started to feel better, they've been able to manage, you know, they've managed to put on a little bit of muscle mass and they've managed to lose their fat and it has improved their game, it has improved their athletic performance. It could be a sports person, it could be any athlete.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. Well, I think you're in luck. Some of the episodes that we've that we're going to be, you know, releasing as part of the season, you know, kind of fit exactly what you just described. So I'm hoping that you give that a listen and are able to enjoy it as well. Can you share some sources of information that you know, that are go-to for you personally as a nutritionist and somebody who's into wellness in general, that our, you know, followers can also, and obviously they'll be following hopefully you very closely in terms of, you know, the content that you're putting out, mm-hmm. And you'll get to see, you know, where Avni's creating content, but what are some of your personal preferences in terms of where you get your information or inspiration or motivation?
So I think the one book that really inspired me was this 5 a.m. Club by Robin Sharma, and it's about you know, how you can wake up early in the morning and improve your productivity and efficiency throughout the day. Because usually what happens is when we wake up, it, you know, we end up into a very chaotic workplace. You know, we suddenly start to kind of being told by our bosses that you need to kind of work on this, and you're just sort of not giving thought to anything. So I think that book really inspired me that, you know, just wake up. You're away from social media. There is nobody who's active on Facebook, Instagram, yeah, and you're not getting those WhatsApp messages. So you just give time to yourself. It could be even meditating for that matter. And if you wake up early, you can obviously go work out, exercise, because things which are the most difficult, try ideally putting them in the morning.
Yeah.
And it just improves your quality of life and you get things done, because there are a lot of things which are going on in our minds, but we're not really scheduling them. We've not really given thought, so ultimately they never get done. Right. Yes. So that book by Robin Sharma. Then I think I came across this book called Our Kid Eats Everything. So this is a book by Nilanjana Singh. I really enjoyed reading that book because for a lot of parents, I think, you know, having fussy eaters in the house becomes a huge task, you know. So she's given a lot of recipes. She basically talks about that, you know, whatever food that you're eating, the child eats everything basically. You know, so you give your child everything and you give it in, like, let's say if they don't want to have palak, you can put it in a paratha, you can make a smoothie, so that they don't get to really see that vegetable.
So some serious life hacks for parents.
Yeah, some really nice hacks, some yeah, recipes, and it's all about, you know, fussy eaters, you yeah, know. And I think the one app that I came across is very interesting. It's called the Intuitive app, and I use it professionally as well, which basically is quite interesting in the sense, suppose you want to know what are the 5 most important, or let's say the richest sources of iron. So I can just go on the app, type in iron or calcium or whatever nutrient that you're looking at, and it'll give you the, you know, in a chronological order, in milligrams or grams, it will give you all the food items as to which one you can opt for. And the best part is that this is based on the nutritive value of Indian food. So you find Indian foods there.
Okay.
Great. I think this has been developed by a nutrition professional only.
Nice.
Yeah. So I think that kind of app. I also use it for my own work. Like, if I want to kind of give some iron-rich foods or calcium-rich foods, I kind of go on the app and I see what are the top five or what in different categories also, in different food groups, what are the richest sources, and I can incorporate that in the diet of a person.
Awesome. So it's a good quick resource for a lot of people to be able to kind of look upon.
Yes, absolutely.
Great. So all of those, you know, the two books that Avni mentioned, as well as a link to the app, will be in the show notes for all of our listeners. You can check those out. Any closing thoughts? I think we covered some great ground here. I think we got some great information for our listeners in terms of how alcohol affects them, and including me and you, how alcohol affects us, and you know, what some good framework or principles that people can follow in terms of being able to, you know, have a healthy lifestyle, be well in general, but also still have a little bit of fun once in a while.
Yes, absolutely. So the closing thoughts would be that you can always party. There's nothing wrong in partying, and this, it's always good to know that you have an active social life. It also, if kind of works on your emotional well-being and your mental state kind of improves. So definitely go out with your friends, party. However, if you plan something, I mean, I would ideally want you to not plan something around food and alcohol. You can plan something different. You can plan a hike. You can plan like a cycling. You can plan maybe going for a boot camp together and then having breakfast.
There are other ways to have fun.
So you can plan a pool party, you can go swimming, you can go biking, you can do so many things. You can plan a get together around coffee, it could be around a movie, you can go for theater, there are stand-up comedians who are doing these shows. Why not go for all those things? So there is so much more. You can play like, I mean, you can do like a video game night also, you know. You can watch the match together, but like have healthy snacks, you know, around you and not have alcohol. You can have your regular drinks like Nimbu Pani, coconut water, you know, all these drinks. Why not? So why not like some cucumber with hunkered or hummus or maybe some roasted makhana, roasted chana or some roasted peanuts. That's not a problem. You know, you can always opt for these kinds of snacks and you can opt for like healthy drinks, nourishing, you know, which are natural, and not plan everything around food and alcohol, you know.
Yeah. Awesome. I think in terms of reasons to for people to not have excuses anymore, I think you've given us a lot in terms of alternatives and healthy drinks and healthy snacks that can still be fun. So thank you so much for that, Avni.
Pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed doing this. I know I enjoyed having you on board.
I really enjoyed this one.
And hope to have you on board again and talking about a lot of other great things in the fitness and wellness space.
Thank you so much. It was so much fun.
Glad to hear it. Thanks so much.
Alright guys, that was our episode. Thank you so much for watching or listening. We hope you gained something that helps you on your wellness journey. We have some great episodes lined up this season, which will help you deep dive into different fitness and nutrition methods, like the one with Tanya Agarwal on content creation for the wellness space, or the one with my friend Shubhajit about becoming a fitness trainer. Definitely look out for those ones. If you liked anything from this episode, please show some love and subscribe or follow us. I love having these conversations, and I would love for you to be a part of these conversations as well. Write to us on our social media at Muncher Podcast or comment on our YouTube.